I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad to be here tonight and enjoyed my time with you. I really have, and let you know how much I do appreciate you. You've greeted me graciously and treated me and my wife both very warmly. We just appreciate that so very much. We sense the sweet spirit of the Lord in this place. Your pastor, Brother Ken, esteems me too highly. Simple as that. This old boy is made out of clay. And he thinks I'm a better preacher than I really am. And I just thank God for him. I love to be around him. I've said that. And I just thank God for being able to be here. I look for great things in this place. I really do. You're here for a reason. God called, ordained, sanctioned, all those kinds of things this day and your journey in this place. Well, I want to do a quick review. No tie tonight. How many of you noticed that? He threatened me not to wear one, and you don't have to threaten me too hard because I'm not really into ties. I'll be honest with you, I think some woman that hates men invented them. But nonetheless, I don't check. Joyce has been with me the last two nights, but sometimes I have ties on, like Boston's probably all ties and stuff. Anyway, and if my tie's crooked, she gives me signs while I'm preaching. I look over and see, and she'll go like this. I mean, straighten your tie. I don't know which way it's supposed to go, and I try to feel, you know, I'll be preaching away doing this. If my hair's messed up, she'll go. And then every once in a while, she'll give me a sign, she'll go. You know what that means? I love you. And I'll see that, and I'll go like this. And you don't know because I'm just preaching. That means I love you, too. And then she'll go four, and I'll go, I'm a preaching away. You don't know that's going on between her and I. We're having a little love affair going on while I'm preaching. Boy, I'm glad to be in love, I'll tell you, with my wife. I just thank God for her. We leave here tonight, and we'll make it probably to Cleveland. I don't know what time we get out of here. Somewhere we'll get a room and spend the night, and then off the next day, a pretty long drive, and then finally Friday being in Boston, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for a conference, and turning around and driving hard home, and spend a little time with my dad. He's frail now. He's failing and those kinds of things. He used to smoke as a young man, had a lung taken out, those kinds of problems, and I want to take him to the doctor for another exam on Tuesday morning. So we'll be driving a long, hard day coming home. So if you think of us on Monday especially, pray. Every once in a while, Joyce will take a nap while I'm driving. She said, oh, I just got an hour of sleep. I said, so did I. Hi, if you know that's not good, but you agree. When you're driving like that, that's not good. So, all right. Quick review. Know the gospel. Oh, know the gospel. Know what it is and pass it on to your children. Know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, my life's verse is Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. That's his early prison epistles. You know what he wrote in his last letters, his last letter to Timothy? He said, oh, that I may know him earlier in his ministry. The end of his ministry is he's in the Mamertine prison awaiting execution. He said, I know whom I have believed. In the journey, get to know. Preach the gospel to yourself. Know it well. Know the Lord. Get to love his word. If you fall in love with the word of God, you'll fall in love with the God of the word. It'll happen. Then pass it on. Pass that on. Marriage, I made a recommendation of it being fellowship. For Joyce and I, that has worked. That's why every time, I don't have many weddings. In fact, I don't have any weddings anymore. I don't have the time to do the counseling and those kinds of things. Our grandchildren, if they want Grandpa to have their wedding, I will. I had all of our children's. But I've just had to say no to some of those because I think it's so sacred. It's not something, you know, you just sign a paper and go through a few motions. But we have chosen in my marriage counseling. I have each one of them as a P. And the first one is purpose. You write down all the purpose why you want to be married. And people say, you know, companionship. I say, get a dog. It's easier. Just get a dog. You want companionship? Get a cat. Get something else. Would you agree there should be more than just companionship? Somebody say amen to that, okay? You'd be amazed how many people have a clue what their purpose is. Why am I going to do this? Why are we going to do this? And anyway, I'd always stress purpose and talk about fellowship and talk about sin. It'll happen in your life. The best person in the world, it's going to happen to him. Sin lives in him and it wants to show up and it wants to bring division, separate the oneness, and God wants to join you together, okay? And the solution to the sin issues in our lives is always the cross. Humbling yourself and become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Die to self. Yield your rights. Boy, that preaches easy and that lives hard. That's a hard... But I got news for you. If you say the price of fellowship is too high, you'll trade down to peace, and peace is better than war. But it's no substitute for fellowship, because man-made peace always deteriorates. Once it deteriorates, you're going to find yourself living in the house with a person that at one time you felt you loved, and you're going to become strangers. It'll be like a wedge, and it'll get bigger and bigger toward the top. Pretty soon, you've got 25 years invested in this thing, and you're strangers. Sleeping in the same bed, eating the same table, going to the same church. And strangers, you'll avoid each other. You're happiest when you're not together. What a shame. Parenting. We took a look at parenting. Brief windows. That was a hard message. So just hard just because it's so countercultural. You know, we have so warped God's standard, His design for the family, where the mother and the father's father are the authority in the home, and they establish the authority, and they love the children, and because they love them, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He says no, and if you violate, there's a consequence. You violate other authorities from your government on down. Can I tell you something? There's consequences there. You want to teach them how to be better citizens? Teach them authority in the home, and they're not the authority, but they'll go through a time when they think they are. And they're worth it. Look at it and say, you're worth this. I'm going to teach you this. I'm going to train you in this. You have brief windows, 2 to 5, 6 to 11 or 12, and then the teenage years on up to 19. You have to deal with attitudes in that middle section. Boy, that's a tough one. That is so difficult. And then bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grandparenting, patient godliness for those brief moments of ministry that God will allow you to have with them. And you can choose to be as involved or not involved. We're choosing to be involved. We want to babysit our grandchildren. When our children want to do something, they're safe with us. Our children grew up in our home and know they're safe in our home. They should be safe in the grandparents' home. Please say amen. Grandchildren should be safe. How many of you know that it's becoming harder and harder to find a safe place in America? How many of you know that our culture is becoming so depraved, so dangerously depraved? We want to be involved. We want to protect and do what we can do to enhance what our children are already doing in their children's lives. And they are so far ahead of where we were when we were raising our children when they were that age. Tonight, young love and courtship. Young love and courtship. I believe the second most important decision you can make in your life is if you're going to get married, who you're going to marry. Now, you can disagree with me in that. That's all right. You can say, no, I think it's this, or I think it's that. I think it's my job. That's the second. Okay, so what if you get fired? You know, does your world fall apart? It shouldn't. I think it's your marriage. If God gifts you to be celibate and serve the Lord single, and that's your design and desire and plan, then that's great. It really, and God does enable some people. I'm not a loner. I would not be complete without my wife. We make a good team. I would not want to do what I'm doing right now without my wife. And most women don't have a clue of the power they have over their husbands. They don't have a clue. If I feel like my wife is with me, I can walk across Texas. When she's not, I can hardly walk across the room. I get disoriented and question myself and question. But you know, when I told Joyce, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's the last night. You'll never have me back if you're here till 10. So anyway. Joyce, and I heard that, Lord. Okay. I went to church on a Sunday. I've been given a Sunday school class. And I just understood the difference between guilt and shame out of Romans 8:1. There is therefore none condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And it was a revelation. God was beginning to reveal himself to me as I studied the Word of God and memorized it, meditated on it, those kind of things. And I told Joyce, I said, oh man, I can't wait to get a Sunday school class this next Sunday. I'm still a state trooper. And she said, oh, tell me. I said, no, you're going to have to wait. You got to wait. I said, oh, I can't wait. She said, oh boy, you know, got excited. Got to church and they gave my Sunday school class to a missionary that was coming through. And I push the plastic button. Oh, it's all right, no problem. I'm going, oh, God, I wanted to share that truth, please, Lord. You know, but on the outside, I hope it's not communicating, a rotten missionary taking my class. I hope that ain't coming out of me. But anyway, we sat down, and I listened to the whole Sunday school class. And anyway, I went home the next day, Monday. I was going to teach that class because if I didn't, it's like your words in me like a fire shut up in my bones and I cannot refrain. That's a preacher. I got to tell somebody. Joyce used to say when I'd see 10 people standing around, pretty soon I'm preaching to them. Now it takes one poor lonely slob standing there minding his own business and I'm talking to him about the Lord. Okay, so just got to get out of here. So I'm going to do it downstairs. Joyce said, ladies, Bible study, kids are gone, school and everything, and I'm getting ready to teach this class. To imagine there were thousands there, okay, at this class of mine. I was going to, and the only thing I got out of my mouth was, there is. And God just stopped me like a frozen frame. Just, there is a heaven, a hell, a truth, a way of life, and just a flood of what things I knew there is. There is. There is a God. There is a plan. And then it's like the Lord quieted everything down and said, is there? There is, therefore not, is there? Tom, you know there is, and the world is saying, is there a God? Is there a way? And when that happened to me, I remember saying out loud, nobody's at the house, I said, God, are you calling me to preach? And that was so foreign to me. I didn't even know about a call to preach. I said, God, are you calling me to preach? And then just peace came, just a quiet peace came to my heart. I took that as a yes. Joyce came home, and she said, honey, is everything okay? I said, yes, sit down. I got to tell you something. She sat down, and I said, I believe God's just called me to preach. Cool as a cucumber. She said, yeah, I know he did. I said, how did you know? Said he told me yesterday he was going to. I said, why didn't you tell me? She said he wanted to. Oh, come on! I couldn't have... She said, here's what she said. She said, yesterday when you said, and you didn't get to teach your Sunday school class, and you'd been telling me all about how much you wanted to tell me, you wouldn't tell me until we got to Sunday, and then they gave you classes. She said, I know you. Oh yeah, you were sitting there like everything's ducky, but I knew you were just tearing you up inside. And I prayed for you, and God gave me peace. Something big's happened. Something big's coming, Joyce, and you can trust me with it. That's what God told her. This has to be it. I said, what does it mean? She said, I don't know. I just know this much. I'm with you. I'm with you. You know what? The day I turned my resignation in, you know what she said to me? She's working at the counter, and I went by her and I said, because the day God called me, the next day, that evening when I went to work, I typed out my resignation. God has called me to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Resignation, effective 30 days from, left it blank. Put on top of the refrigerator. I said, when God gives us the high sign, I'm turning that in. She said, okay. No, we didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell our parents, our pastor, nobody. There's a time when you don't commune with other people. You go straight to God. If this is a God thing, it's got to be from God. You know, you got to do this. So, I got ready to go to work, and I said to her, I said, I think tonight's the night I'm going to turn in my resignation. You know what she said to me? She said, I'm with you. How many of you know when you've got unsaved in-laws, and you're going to quit a job with four small children, they are not going to say, oh, we're so glad for you to quit your job. Would you agree? Everybody's going to know you're nuts. The guys I'm working with are going to know I'm nuts. They would know I went nuts. I carry my Bible to work, and you know, a lot of change in my life. I'm with you. Oh, man, if you've got a wife that's with you, bring it on. Just help yourself to the mustard. That's Luke 47, somewhere in there. Some of you know what that means, and let's move on. That's not in the message, okay? I believe a marriage is a very important thing. I don't think there's anything better than a good marriage. I don't think there's anything worse than a bad one. Man, I'll tell you. And I got news for you, man. If you got a bad one, you're going to have to shoulder a big responsibility because Jesus said, I will build my church. And he also dumps into the man's, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's in your court. He said, I'll build mine. You build yours. Don't you worry about Christ building his church. You'll never find any place in the Bible. He said, and I'll build your marriage. No, he won't. You build it. Big responsibility. See, I got news for you. If I was out of fellowship with Joyce tonight, I would call Brother Ken tonight and say, we can't get this thing resolved, and I can't preach because you're not my ministry. She's my ministry. Why in the world would I want to stand up here and tell you about the power of Christ to change your life, and he's not changing mine? You know my credentials for ministry? Have you read what they are? Husband of one wife. Children in subjection, under your authority. Nowhere do you have to see where it's seminary degrees and all kinds of PhDs and ordinations from this school and that. But I got news for you. You better have your family in order. Boy, amen, Tom. Good preaching. Why, thank you. When you don't amen, or I will, because I know it's true. Amen just means I agree with that's true. It's a biblical word. Now that we've got that settled, I don't know if we have it settled or not, but now that I'm going to move on. Young love and courtship can be one of the most hopeful and joyful times of your life. It is also a time of great vulnerability to strong emotional influences. That is not to say that when boy meets girl, it is strictly an intellectual experience. You had better have some emotions in it. By the way, God created us to be emotional, and He ministers to our emotions. But emotions are powerful things, would you agree? Your feelings. You got to have feelings. I won't marry a couple if they don't have strong feelings for each other. But you better have a little bit more than... How of you be willing to agree that love is more than a feeling? Would you agree? You don't live in this, you're just too good to be true. You don't live there all the time. Would you agree? Oh, how can this be true? How have you ever had those days? You got to love in both of them. Please say amen to this so we can get to the message. But you got to have some of that. You are the one. Whether beneath the moon above or under the sun, whether near or far, it makes no difference where you are. I think of you. Night and Day, Cole Porter, 1930. That was the number one song. And I bet you're glad you came tonight, aren't you? Do any of you know what was going on in our country in 1930? We were coming out of the throes of the what? The Great Depression. And America needed a love song. I'm going to tell you something. You better have some love song going on between you and your mate. Young or old, it's something you want to nurture. When all my teeth are gone, I'm still going to sing to my wife and kiss her every chance I get. I'm going to hold her hand. In fact, I may need to just to stabilize me, okay? Go ahead and laugh. It'll happen. You hang around. You want that. But it's not just an intellectual experience. Neither is it just an emotional experience. It's both. You do not park your brain when you start falling in love. Please say amen. You activate it. And your mind will an emotion. You've got to have all of those things going on. There's a danger. Because emotions, especially in young love, is so vulnerable. The world, the flesh, and the devil have learned to market and take avenues of marketing to exploit the purity and the God-designed thing God calls love. He wants to destroy it. And it's dangerous. Well, let me give you a verse to have a launching pad in this. It's Matthew 26, 40 and 41. You may find this a strange one, but stay with me in this. It says this, "And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He says, watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing. Now, I want to tell you right now, I believe that marriage is for saved and lost people. It's for humanity. God designed it for people that are not born again, not His children. But especially those who are born again, know the Lord. God has designed for them this marriage, this union, to be something that's sanctioned, ordained, and designed by God to work for His glory. God gets great glory out of a husband and wife when they're in fellowship or koinonia, oneness in the Spirit. Watch and pray. The Spirit longs for us to walk in the Spirit. And these two people, radically different in personality and backgrounds, etc., coming together to be one in the Spirit. And it is possible. The Spirit is indeed willing and the flesh is weak. The flesh has always been weak. Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and put no confidence in the flesh." Here's a warning, young lovers. Put no confidence in the flesh, thinking you in your own energy and in your own ability can control the emotions that God created and designed within you when the world, flesh, and the devil are aiming at them constantly.
You'll hear one sermon, just a part of this message tonight, from God's Word on how we need to be careful during this time. And you'll walk out of here within the next 24 hours, hear 10 messages to this one to the contrary. An advertisement in how you're supposed to dress, the music you're supposed to listen to, and everything else that appeals to those emotions. God created to be used by the devil and the flesh and the world in a God-forbidden way. Very dangerous time. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Boy, there's such a danger to us think we can take the flesh and reform it and have it be profitable. Nope, I don't care if it's USDA choice flesh. It profits nothing. I need the Spirit of God. His leading, His guiding. Romans 8:14, for they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I don't think there's a time in your life you ever want to walk without the Spirit of God, but I think there's one time in your life you really want to be walking in the Spirit of God. And that's when you're looking for a mate. And someone crosses your path and you take an interest in them and you think, young love. Boy, it's such a vulnerable time. Seek the Lord's guidance. Give me some instructions. What does your word have to say? Are there warnings? Are there guidelines? He says, watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Don't just watch and don't just pray. Watch and pray. Watch is a metaphor, a figure of speech that talks about doing certain things, getting some guidelines. In other words, if you're going to take an exam, don't just study for the exam. Now, I'm talking to a Christian young person, right? Don't just study for the exam. Study for the exam and then pray and ask God to bring to your remembrance the things you've studied when you're taking that exam. Don't just pray that you'll pass the exam and not study. How many of you followed that? How many of you ever taken a few of those? Oh, God, help me. You know? Don't do just the prayer. Because some people, good people, is all they do is... Don't just invite somebody to church. Invite them to church and then pray that God's Spirit would take your invitation and move them and they'd cross over that and they'd come. How many of you followed? Don't just pray, oh, God, bring so-and-so to church and never invite them. Are you following this at all? Don't just in your health eat all fast foods and junk foods and stuff and then pray for God to give you good health. And don't just pray the opposite, okay? I can't remember which one I just did. Now this morning I ran again. I run 3 miles a day, 5 days a week. About ten years ago, I weighed 280, in the 280s, okay? I got up one morning and weighed 282 or 280 something. How many of you know you're usually a little lighter in the morning? Never mind. I went to my doctor and I said to my doctor, I had chest pains up here. You know, I could tell I had the high blood pressure. Hear my heart beating in my ears and stuff all the time. And he said, you're going to have to lose some weight, change your diet, and start exercising. You know what I did? I changed doctors. That's what a lot of people do. They come to a church and hear what God has to say, and they'll go to a church and find one and tell them what they want to hear. Give me a pill. Let me keep living my rotten lifestyle, neglecting my health. I went to another doctor, and you know what? There's a conspiracy among doctors. He told me the same thing. That didn't bother me. I went to another doctor. He's a good Christian doctor. He'll help me. Well, he joined the other two. And you know what I did? I started praying about my health. Because I got news for you. Ex-football player, all that kind of stuff. Been 11 years as a Michigan State trooper. Put on a bunch of weight. Ate enough donuts to fill this room. It's a high-stress job. I was a candidate for a blowout. Now I go, and I'm off my blood pressure medicine, my cholesterol's where it's supposed to be. And my blood pressure's where it's supposed to be. And I have no medication. Just because I get up and run a little bit. But you know what I turn my run times into? My prayer times. I start out running in the morning. I say, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker with you. Know ye not that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep unto my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others I myself should be a castaway. Did you hear all that? Every morning that's hard. I take off. And sometimes I run in the country. I run every place. I run in Boston. Joyce Paxman running clothes. I've run all over the place. I'll run at zero and at 90. If it's over 90, I have run over that and I have ran below zero. This year, every year. I made a commitment to do it 10 years. I'm getting ready to enter my last year. Probably die the year after, but anyway. No, I don't think I will. I'm actually changing some of this right now because I don't have the time. It takes me 30 minutes to run 3 miles. I ain't got the time for that. I'm saying, God, how can I shorten this? Don't just do one or the other. Why? Don't just do the exercise and don't just do the pray. Pray and exercise. And you can go down to all kinds of things in your life. And it seems like we have to do one or the other. Don't just train your children right and not pray for them. Say amen. And don't just pray for your children that turn out right without doing the things as a parent you're responsible to do. You got to do both. Don't do one or the other. Do them both. Watch and pray. That's very important with young love and courtship. Very important. I'm going to try to tie these things together. Our son Ben, our oldest son, when he was about 15, having some troubles with him in this area because... I don't even know the language to use. Red-blooded young American boy. Believe it or not, I could remember being young and where my mind was at times and thinking about I'd change biologically, and there was all kinds. And there was God created stuff, but I needed some guidelines, which I didn't get. I needed some prayer, which I did get, praise God. But I needed both. Boy, I tell you, I've been neglecting old Ben here. He's lied to us about things. He starts sneaking around. Hanging on to hands of some girl at churches, a couple years older than him. And we found out about it. I said, what is going on? Come on, son. Let's talk. Okay. We sent him on a missions trip, a short-term mission trip. Good mission. New tribes. Some gal he met there, another young girl, come home, and he's got love letters between him and her. He keeps them all. And Joyce finds him in his luggage and stuff. She brings him down to reason. By the way, parents, when you catch your kids and stuff like this, you ought to be thankful to God you do, because then you can deal with it. And if you don't catch them, you don't have a clue what's going on. You may know, but you haven't got the evidence you need. And we had all this stuff. And I confronted him about it, because they had snuck off a couple times, and they'd probably done some smooching and stuff. And come on, man. And then I confront him about any lies. Show him the papers. Oh. He wasn't real sharp, okay? Brings the evidence home. Maybe. And I go, oh, man, I don't want to deal with this. But I got to deal with this. Man, I love my son. I know he's heading into stuff. Forces me to deal with stuff. So I began to talk with him. And man, I was just talking with him and talking with him. And pretty soon he said to me, one day he said, Dad, I'm going to trust God with you and Mom for my good. And he'd heard that, and that was a good thing to do. And I'm going to trust you. He said, I'm going to trust God with you. I didn't choose my parents, but what your desires are for me is we wanted no relationships with girls. So he turned 18 years old. I said, you can be friends with them. And I said, but I don't want any of this pairing off kind of stuff, because there's nothing you can do. I said, you'll find yourself, once you touch a girl, you lose objectivity real quick. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Unless she's his wife, then you can. But don't touch her. I can remember in high school, I could just lean up next to Joyce and our arms and stuff are touching. Is that enough? Can you follow that one? I don't know. I think God kind of made us that. You read about Isaac and Rebecca. How did old Abimelech ever tell that they were husband and wife? He said, just my sister. The same lie his dad told about his mom. He said, that's not his sister. Look how he's correcting her. Now, I'll hug other women. I ain't real crazy about it, but I'll hug other women. I'll be known to hug them like this. But I don't hug other women like I hug my wife, and I don't want other women hugging me like they hug their... I don't want that. Because there's a difference between how you... There's a difference, okay? I don't want some other man holding hands with my wife. Amen, Tom. That's my hand. You see that? Anyway, we're talking about these kind of things. After he said that to us, I was really quite skeptical. Because I didn't have all my ducks in a row. I didn't know what to think. You know, within 3 months, I had a different son. He says, I'm going to trust God with you for my good. Are you listening, young people? That's an excellent way for you to help you prepare to find the one you're supposed to marry. It's to say, I'm going to trust God to work through my parents to help me see things I can't see. Have you ever heard the expression, love is blind? It's really blind when you're young. It just is. Why? Because of the emotions. Got lots of feelings. Ain't got a lot of intellect right now. I've got a whole lot of feelings. You want those feelings. Those are valuable things. It's not just this. I got all the clinical stuff down. You know, I got like some kind of machine or something. I got this data, I got this data, I got this data. Now, you should have some feeling. You should have a longing in your heart to love the person, to care for the person. But you need some help. And I don't know how it's happened, but in America, probably post-World War II, somehow fathers were convinced to just step out and become spectators and good luck. Parent, don't you dare. You be a participant in this. It's too big of a decision. You contribute some helpful thoughts. You be willing to talk. Take some adventures in conversations with your sons and your daughters, your grandsons and granddaughters. Talk with them about the goodness and the godliness of a good, strong marriage. How you get it, how you escape, and how you avoid things that you see. The whole landscape is littered with the carnage of ruined marriages. I don't want to be one of them. I want my children to be one of them. And I don't think you do either. Well, he said, okay. And all of a sudden, we began to get just more rope and more liberty. We could see him. He had it. And he's grown up, and he went to minister at this camp after high school for a whole summer. The rules of the camps, Camp Barakal, is no relationships between the counselors. None. After, that's your business. But you're going to come up here and serve for 12 weeks throughout the summer, 10 weeks, be here for 12. You're not going to have any relationships. We haven't got time to police counselors falling in love with one another. You know what he did? He submitted to it. Now, I've omitted something. After I saw these things begin to happen in Ben's life, I said, son, what are you looking for in a wife? He wasn't really looking right then. At least he didn't think he was. I said, what kind of woman do you want to marry? And he said, well, one like Mom. I said, well, what about Mom do you like? Well, Dad, she loves you. I'd love to love a woman that loves you. I'd like to fall in love with a woman that loves me like Mom loves you. I said, yeah, you are absolutely right. That's something. I said, I'll tell you what, why don't we sit down and just kind of write down every once in a while something you see that you'd like to have in a mate, and we'll just write them down. He said, okay. And he's written them down. He wrote them down the front of his Bible. He'd come share one with me every once in a while. He said, I want a wife that not only is saved, but she truly loves the Lord and is committed to Him and to His Word. That's Mark 12:30, okay? I said, how are you going to tell? He said, by the way she worships, if she prays, if she has any interest in the Word of God, is she a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God? How do you know? I said, how are you going to? He said, is she a complainer? Is she quick to find fault with the preacher, with the food at a restaurant, with the car I drive, with the entertainment we go to? Or is she grateful? Is she critical of the lost? He said, there's some things you can tell. And he was right. I said, write that. That's a good one. Write that one down. He wrote it down in the front of his Bible. He'd come back a little while later, and I began to work with him in these things. He said, I want a wife that's morally pure and lives a life of high moral standards, a woman of character, 1 Corinthians 6:18-20, her body is the temple of the Lord. She's a woman that has standards for how she dresses. The style's modesty. It's not what the world's styles are. The style is modesty. He said, I want a woman that is morally pure. Number three, she lives in harmony with authority, especially her parents. I want to make sure that she loves her dad. Because much of how she loves her dad, because he had heard me talk about when I went to ask Joyce, I said to Joyce, we just graduated from high school, and I said to Joyce, would you marry me? She grew up in a non-Christian home, never went to church, never saw a Bible in her house, never heard her parents pray. I said to her, would you marry me? And she said, you'll have to ask my dad. I said, I don't think they do that anymore. She said, we do. That's what I'm trying to say to you. How do you know our culture? You don't have to back up too long. And the unbelieving, people that didn't even know the Lord had more character than a lot of Christians have today. You want to know what? She was under protection because of her father, relationship. She's the only girl. And her mother taught her how to love her dad. And when we walked down the aisle and her dad took her arm out of hers and placed it in mine, she didn't even realize this, but all of the love, obedience, loyalty, allegiance that she had given to her father and learned to do from her mother to her father, when he gave her to me, she was trusting him that she could transfer all of those things to me. Can I tell you something? What a great gift to give a godly woman to a man. And she had just been saved, just prior to us getting married. Oh, make sure that if you're looking for a husband, that he loves his mama.
I was a mama's boy. Yep. You can mess with me, but don't you say anything bad about my mama. I'll tear your face off, stuff it in your pocket.
That's also in Luke somewhere. I'm not sure where that one's at, but don't take all of these quotes to the bank, okay? But I was going to defend. How many of you know that a man's supposed to defend his wife? Where does he learn that? You ought to learn that defending your mom. You ought to have a good relationship. Boys ought to have a good relationship with their mom. And girls with their dads. Joyce taught our daughters to love me. Just did. And taught me how to father my daughters. She did. I didn't have a clue. I knew a little bit about boys. You know, you could do just some of the things the boy things do because I was a boy. I have a clue about girls. Many a girl has been wounded, disoriented on how to look for a godly mate. She didn't have a clue from her father. I was involved. I used to take our daughters with her on dates. I'd go to some place and preach at a banquet and stuff, and Joyce would get them a corsage, get some kind of a flower and stuff, and pin them on, and she'd get all dressed up. I have daughters, adult daughters now, that still hold my hand, still hug and kiss on me. I remember one time Lydia was with me. You know, strawberry blonde kind of redhead girl, long curly hair. She's all dressed up pretty one night in red dress and all. And then we was going to this place to preach. And we're on the expressway and I'm driving along at speed limits. A couple of guys, the car went by real fast and then they slowed down kind of like this. And they're looking over. I looked over at them. I thought, what are they looking at me for? And then I realized they looked at my daughter. I went, phew, man.
You want to fight, boy?
You know. Don't mess with my daughters, okay.
How do you know it's a good thing? Did you know a daughter gets security out of a father's protection and a wife gets security out of a husband's protection? I'm going to step up to the plate. How do you know something's wrong? If husband and wife are in bed and you hear a noise downstairs and the husband says, honey, would you go down and check that out? Something's wrong. Would you agree? Now, we're living in a culture that would endorse that. That's wrong. The first one to take the hit ought to be dad or the husband. Man, I got news for you. Somebody got to come and get one of my daughters. So all I got to do is take me out of the way first, okay? You can get through me.
That ought to be there. There's some ought to be there, and your daughters ought to know that. And they'll look for a man that's going to protect them. Not somebody cares less about them. Is always interested in themselves and self-centered, self-absorbed, self-obsessed. Somebody's looking at a man on his own things, but a man on the things of others. It's biblical. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. She accepts herself as best evidenced by a meek and quiet spirit. She doesn't make physical things her focus, like clothes and makeup. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Which basically says, let their adorning not be the adorning of the outward appearance, let it be the adorning of the heart. That of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, great price. I can't remember how those verses go right now, but there's another one, and it doesn't have the reference in here. I think it's 1 Timothy that talk about modesty. The physical things. And that does not mean you can't wear makeup. Good night. I remember the first time, though, I saw Joyce without makeup. I thought, oh, I said, what's different about you? She said, oh, I haven't got my makeup on yet. I said, don't put it on. I love you without makeup. Oh, there's something about, I thought, this is before we were married, I thought, that's what I'll get to wake up in the morning and see. She's not all prettied up. Now, listen, people, you can wear makeup. If the barn needs painting, paint it, okay? But some ladies put on makeup with a trowel. How do you know what I mean by that? You know, just make a couple places for your eyes and paint them. How do you know something's wrong? If that's the focus, you see, your countenance, you don't want to do. You know what? I'm going to tell you, girls, you know what men say about some woman's got too much makeup on? She's trying to hide something. She's covering up something. Okay. And on. Yeah, move on. That's what I got to do here. There's seven of these. And there's seven of them Ben wrote down. I can't even get to talk to you before, but I brought some of these. What to look for in a husband and what to look for in a wife. And those are just, if somebody wants copies of those, you can make copies of those. Here's a grandparent's first prayer. You can get these things off my webpage. And this one here, 16 things to pray for your children. I'm just going to leave these up here. And I'm going to make reference to these in just a few more moments. Okay, so Ben says, okay, Dad. And we can see him growing. Oh, my goodness, he's growing. And we now have made part of our daily prayers, praying for our children, that they'd find a godly mate. First thing, pray for the salvation. And most of our kids, evidence of their salvation, don't just pray until they pray a prayer. Pray until you see a relationship going on between them and God, okay? How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Answer, you won't. You won't. Pray until you see them not working for their salvation, but working out their salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, as ye have obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Until you see them, there's something going on. The conviction and their conscience, their faith and stuff is coming together. You see, they've got a relationship with the Lord. Pray for their salvation. And then, right on the heels of that, you're praying for their marriage partner. They're praying for that. You know what I mean? I've never met them. Don't know who they are. So, Ben had this. And, well, at this camp, after all the... Tom, you remember this. You went up to Mackinac Island. Didn't you get to go to Mackinac Island? Okay, that was the day. And Ben had been watching this little blonde-haired pastor's daughter. And he said, yep, she loves the Lord, modest. And he was just checking them off. And he was telling me about her. He said, she's what I'm looking for. Now, he didn't wait too long. I said, 18 years old. There's 18 years old, okay? And they went up and they got tandem bikes and they rode on. Just had a good time. And she went off to Bible college. And he corresponded with her and pretty soon began to go over and see her. And he went over to see her dad, who was a pastor, and said to the pastor, he said, Mr. So-and-so, I believe your daughter's won my heart. Would you give me permission to win hers? And that pastor went, yes. And talked to him a little bit. And they began to court. And they'd set up some rules. No, none of the physical. I said, you just lose. And we talked about this. And he said, I can do that. We can do this. We're not talking about something that's a flash in the pan in a moment. There's too much consequence. There are too many consequences to that foolishness. And he said, I'm looking for something that's a mate. And I'm looking for somebody who's morally pure and loves the Lord and loves His Word and is not afraid to worship God and those kinds of. And sure enough, about 6 months, he did all he could to win her heart. And one day, she said to him, they were out on a date and doing something. She said to him, Ben, are you going to be a pastor? And he said, no, I don't think I'm going to be a pastor. She said, well, I believe God wants me to marry a pastor. Now, how do you know that's a kind way, but it's still rejection. I don't care how you sugarcoat rejection. Rejection is a tough pill to swallow. Would you say amen to that? She just basically said, you ain't the one. He couldn't win her heart. And this is a girl that's got everything he's looking for, who did go on to marry a fine, godly man. But I'm going to tell you something, girls, never marry a profession. The profession may change. From trooper to preacher. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you know, don't marry, you want to marry a person. It has certain qualities. So, man, Ben come home and he told us about what happened. And he said, I did everything right. And he said, look what happened. I think I'll just be a single missionary and go to China. And we knew he was not a single missionary, okay? If you're going to China, you're going to have to take a wife with you. And so we didn't say and give much counsel or anything. Just asking, well, what about the guidelines and the rules? We've been praying for you, son. What, you just throw them to the wind? Are you just going to take a chance now? Or... He said, no. He said, I don't know. He said, and so we prayed for him, and he ended up marrying a girl by the name of Carmen, who was going to be a single missionary. Went to Word of Life in the second year, graduated from that, on the missions program. She wasn't going to get married. And God brought them together. And now they're both missionaries in Africa, serving the Lord. And she's about 5'10". I don't know what she weighs, 150. I don't know. You ain't supposed to tell women's age. She's not a skinny gal. She just loves her. They have four children. I don't know. Have mercy on me and just let me go on with my preaching, would you? One time, Ben standing out in front. We're all in the garage, and Ben standing out in front, and Carmen comes out of the house. She ran over to Ben. Now, this after they have four children. And she runs, she just jumps up and throws her legs around his waist and her arms around his head and jerks his head into her and starts kissing him. And Ben's standing there like he's a great big guy. He just stood there and here she came rocking into him. And he kept talking. And I can tell you right now, he was loving that. He was kind of acting like, oh, it's okay. It's an everyday experience, you know. It's good to be in love after you've had four or five kids. Say amen. Would you agree? And it's just good. They got a wonderful man. Ellen, our next daughter, next born down, she said, man, this worked for old Ben. I want to do her too. And so she began to design things in the front of her Bible. She had 12 things she's looking for, not seven. She had 12 things she's looking for in a mate. And I got to say, once again, the counselor of the camp, not the same camp, another camp, met a young man who was a football player and a divinity student at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Illinois. Got to know him, got a good godly family from Michigan, headed toward ministry and those kind of things. I mean, he's everything she's looking for. And we don't know, people, we are not choosing our kids' mates. We're not going to do it. You know why? We're not marrying them.
You don't choose. Well, yeah, you can knock yourself out. There's all kinds of things. God may lead you, help yourself to the mustard. But we ain't choosing them. We're praying and we're giving them counsel how to seek a mate. Because I believe the person that ultimately has the veto power was it... Who married Isaac? Rebecca? Rebecca, Rachel, all them gals. I can't remember which one was which now. It was Rebecca. And finally, the Abraham's servant says, well, listen, I got to get her home right now. I need to take her right now. And the father said, let's ask her. And she said, I'm willing to go. If she had said no, the dad would have enforced it. He gave her the option, okay, of yes, let's go. And so we were giving our children that liberty. Well, we're going to pray and we're going to give counsel to you. And if we see red flags, we want you to know you can come to us and we can talk to you about them and we can discuss those things and pray about those things. And we just see our kids making such good. This guy, we loved him. But we didn't know if he was the right one or not, so we began to pray for him. And I began to say, God, if he's not the man, would you just cause him to lose his feelings? And once again, you know what they did on their dates? They memorized together Psalms 119. I mean, they made a commitment. No smooching and no holding hands. You say, oh, that's old-fashioned. So's virginity. I mean, we're talking about something that is so volatile to strong emotions. It isn't worth a few moments of foolishness. It just isn't. So, we begin to see it. And his relationship with her couldn't make this appointment. Got to go here. Those kind of things. And she was just making excuses for it. And finally, he said, Mr. Harmon, can I talk to you? And this is over, was it a year, Joyce, or not quite a year? 6 months. And he finally came to me and said, Mr. Harmon, I got to talk to you. He said, I don't understand. He said, your daughter has everything I'm looking for in a mate. But I've lost my feelings for her. And I don't understand it. And I just smiled and I said, Jonathan, I said, I've been praying if you're not the one for my daughter that you'd lose your feelings because you got to have feelings. And he said, I don't understand it. But he says, I've lost my feelings for her. He said, what am I going to do? He said, I think you better tell her. He said, would you? I said, no way. How many of you know it's time that old boy to step up to the plate? Would you agree? By the way, he's in ministry today, married another good, godly woman. But he wasn't the one. I couldn't take it when she came. And she was just devastated. And it was hard for when you see your kids when Ben was hurt, but nothing like when you see a daughter hurt because I couldn't fix it. Did everything right. I was convinced he was the man that I was supposed to marry. Now this has happened. I guess I'll just be a single missionary. China gets all the single missionaries for some reason, okay? So, I just began to pray for her. This was in September. And I prayed a prayer that I would not encourage you to pray. I said, God, I can't take seeing my daughter hurt like this. It's hard on her. Rejection's hard. Would you allow her to meet the man she's supposed to marry before the end of this year? Timetables I wouldn't recommend this, but I did it. Fools enter where angels fear to tread kind of stuff. December 31st, we went to a wedding. Guy we'd known, grown up with his family. I grew up with their dad and this kind of stuff. He was getting married. We went to the wedding. And the boy's name was Gabriel, that was brother to the guy that was getting married. And he was in the Marines. He'd graduated from Bible school, and he'd loved secretly Ellen for a long time. She wouldn't have anything to do with him. He was her older brother's age, 2 years older. Good night. It's practically an antique, you know. How do you know the older you get, 2 years don't mean nothing. Would you agree with that? So here's what he's standing there in his class age, you know, his white hat. She said, who's that? I said, that's Gabriel. My, he's changed. How do you know uniforms do help? Would you agree with that? And they got to talking after the wedding, you know, they're standing around. He came over and he says, Mr. Harmon, he says, Could I take Ellen out? Now, they're in the 20s, early 20s. 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there. 22? I can't see you. Would you sit closer next time? 20. 21. And he said, yeah. And I said, got to be home at 11. I didn't do that, okay. You can do that. You got to take a lot of things into account. And I said,
Sure. So they went out and they just had a great time. Then he had to take off and go back to California, back to the Marine base. They began to write and correspond. That's a good way to court. I'm going to tell you right that. That really is. They got to know each other through letters and calls. And finally, Ellen says, I think I'm falling in love with him. Could I go out there and see him? I said, you sure can. Joycey and her got on a plane, flew out there, spent about 3-4 days with him out there. She came home and said, I think I love him. They kept developing that relationship, and pretty soon he asked her to marry him. You know how she responded? With a kiss. Her first kiss and his first kiss. How many of you know he interpreted that as a yes? How many of you knew that? She took his face like this. And she kissed him. Now they have 5 children. Love the Lord. Brian, our next born, sees how this is turning out and he says, this is okay. So he had already had his eye on a girl that he'd been knew that he'd grown up with, and beautiful little girl. We knew the family, we were good friends with them, and he just fell in love with her. And he'd come in, our kids would always come in and talk with us, come in and get in bed with us, big old kids getting in bed with us. And they'd talk to us about what they did on their date, you know, where they went and what they did. And the same thing, got the commitments and the trust and those kinds of things were there. He wined and dined her. He went to the father, same thing. Not wined and dined her, literally, okay? Don't take that and run with it. But that's a metaphor, okay? Figure of speech. They ain't slobbering drunk. And they're having a lot of fun. He's buying her nice gifts and they're talking. And just things are just going so good. And finally, one night, she said to him, Brian, I love you like a brother. How many of you know there had to be a little, okay? And we knew that, and we just hurt for him. Now, he was a licensed builder at 19 years old. This is when he's 20 years old. He said, I'm going to go to Bible college for a year. He said, I don't care anything about a sheepskin. He says, all I want to get, I want to take some Bible, some Spanish, and some missions class, and some music classes. He said, I want to do it. So he chose a college down in Florida. He took off, went down there for a year. Just before he left, he showed me his Bible, what he had written down, what he's looking for in a wife now. He had 21 things. I read through 21 things, and I said to him, you better get ready to be single, because God ain't made that woman yet. There ain't no woman can do that. The one, it's not. How do you know it's nice to find out before you get married? Would you agree? It's like, man. He said, man. I said, I think I'll just be a single missionary. And it was to China again, okay? And we knew that, and we just hurt for him. Now, he was a licensed builder at 19 years old. This is when he's 20 years old. He said, I'm going to go to Bible college for a year. He said, I don't care anything about a sheepskin. He says, all I want to get, I want to take some Bible, some Spanish, and some missions class, and some music classes. He said, I want to do it. So he chose a college down in Florida. He took off, went down there for a year. Just before he left, he showed me his Bible, what he had written down, what he's looking for in a wife now. He had 21 things. I read through 21 things, and I said to him, you better get ready to be single, because God ain't made that woman yet. There ain't no woman can do that. I mean, a virtuous woman stands in the shadows of that woman. He said, no, Dad. He said, God's got me one of them kind of women. And the woman he ended up marrying, she was a first-generation Christian. Came from a broken home, difficulties physically. She had scoliosis, been through a number of surgeries. They told her you'd probably never be able to bear children because of all the different medications and the surgeries and all the things that she went through and those kind of things. But she went to college praying that God would let her know who the man she was supposed to marry, that I would know him. He would be my Prince Charming. That was her prayer. Not real biblical, but nonetheless, you know, I want to be my Prince Charming. Brian said that when they met, they were running to class. He hadn't even seen her yet. They're running up the stairs, 300 students running up these stairs going into the classrooms and stuff, and she's right in front of him, and as she's running up the stairs, her slipper falls off. Brian stops, picks up her slipper and says, dropped your slipper, Cinderella. She kind of looked at him like, 2 days later they met under a palm tree, 13 months later they were married, she just had their 6th child. We were back to see him just for a few minutes today. Did you notice that? What she did to him? Brian had been working on a lawnmower. How have you know, men, if you could lose your salvation, you could lose it over working on a lawnmower sometimes. Anybody want to say amen to that? Well, he asked me for help, and I said, I ain't losing my salvation. Man, I hate that. I always turn things the wrong way. That boys will say to me, Dad, lefty loosey, righty tighty, and I'm just snapping off bolts like crazy. Anyway. He finally got it working, because she's having having a baby shower for somebody over the house this Sunday or something. And he wanted to make sure the lawn would look nice, all that kind of stuff.
And Kimberly just come up behind him and put her arms around him and loved on him. He shaves his head. And he just kissed all over his old shaved head. I said, he'll live off of that for a couple of days. Then our last born, Lydia. Is it all right if I'm just telling you about our own journey? Is that okay? I mean, not a whole lot of scripture to this stuff. I'm just telling you, you do some watching and you do some praying. You got to do something. Don't be a spectator. Be a participant. There is even a place for confrontation in this. Many times we don't want to confront because we don't care enough. We're too afraid of the rejection and the reaction and those kind of things. Care enough to confront sometimes. Have a plan what you're going to do. And don't do it without prayer. Never make a plan without praying. Never pray without some plan in mind. What are you praying about? Lydia, young man began to court her. Knew the family, large family, and all this kind of stuff. And she's the only one that rejected him. That old boy came to me, and everything on the outside looked good, and I didn't discern anything other than that. Didn't have all the information, just looked at the basic credentials and said, he'll be all right. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. They wanted to go to a Michigan State game. And on the way to the Michigan State game, he said, would you like to see my apartment? Took her to the apartment. And then he offered her a drink there. And it wasn't water and it wasn't pop. He said, you take me home. And he took her home. They didn't tell me about this for 2 days. Did you know that boy had a near-death experience and he didn't even know it? Did you know that? They didn't tell me for a reason. They needed to prepare me for this message, okay? Made sure I was handcuffed to the floor and everything else. Ooh, when I heard that. But I saw the letter that she wrote him. I still have it in my files. She trimmed his sails. Yeah, he made a pretty good mess of his life. He wasn't the one. But I hated to see that. It really discouraged me, but I was thankful to God that he preserved her from him. And then a young man that she had counseled with a summer or so at Camp Barakow. By the way, Camp Barakow has been good for us. It really has. His name's Michael. By the way, our two son-in-law's names are Michael and Gabriel. They are angels, I'll tell you. Well, Michael was here Sunday morning. And he called and left a message on the answer machine. It was on a Sunday. And I just don't push the button on my answer machine on Sunday. I just don't. I usually ain't got enough energy to push it, okay? But I went downstairs and I pushed it. And it was a message from Michael. And Michael, this is their Christmas time, and Michael said his mother, they were getting ready to go to a cantata at their church. And he had just got home from Moody break, you know, and he was home for the Christmas break. He says, my mother says we have an extra ticket, and she told me I should call you and ask you to come. Sounds like a coward, doesn't it? My mother said I should ask you, okay? Well, she listened to that. And we laugh about that today, you know.